जय जय गौरचंद्र जय नित्यानंद जय अद्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद जय जय गौरचंद्र जय नित्यानंद जय अद्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद जय जय गौरचंद्र जय नित्यानंद जय अद्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद All glories to Gaurachandra, all glories to Nityananda, all glories to Advaita Chandra, and all glories to the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So I'm reading from the Madhya Lila chapter 12 of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. This text 135. Hey Mata Puradwara Agipata Jata Shakala Shadhila Tata Ke Vanivikata. Outside of the gateway of the temple, all the roads were also cleansed, and no one could exactly tell how this was done. So there's a purport here, so we're going to read, but this is a chapter describing Lord Chaitanya's cleansing of the Gundicha temple and how it relates to the cleansing of the heart. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally, he called some senior devotees and the superintendent of the temple, and he very humbly requested him, can we please clean the temple, the Gundicha temple? So of course they agreed. The king had given an order to all the temples and Jagannath temple and all the others, whatever Mahaprabhu wants, you supply unlimitedly. There's no limitation to what, anything he wants, you simply do. So they all agreed. So then Mahaprabhu told all the devotees, we're going to clean the temple. So immediately the temple Mahanta, he bought 100 brooms and 100 pots of water. And all the devotees, early next morning, they all went there with their brooms and their pots of water, and they started to sweep all the temple out until it was thoroughly cleansed. This is still goes on today. It's very popular. If you go there this morning, if you're in Puri, you see, especially the Gaudiya Mata there. You see them all walking down the road with their brooms, their stiff brooms, and buckets of water. And Mahaprabhu was cleansing, and he would say, I can tell who's cleansing the best by whoever gets the biggest pile of dirt. So everyone was having a competition, but Mahaprabhu would always win. He'd have a big pile of dirt. So they would sweep everything, take it outside. Then Mahaprabhu would start again cleaning and cleaning up the little bits that they had missed. And everybody was following. And then they started bringing in all the water after they'd swept everything out. They were going in the cracks of the stones and taking all the sand out because it's very sandy, that area. And they're pouring hundreds of pots of water. And they were running to the tank to fill up water and rushing back to the temple. And sometimes they were crashing into each other and the pots would explode. And everybody was just chanting the names of Hari and Krishna, and that was the only thing to be heard. And whenever they wanted something, they'd say, Krishna, Krishna, They see someone with a pot of water, Krishna, Krishna, indicating, I want the pot. And the devotees say, Krishna, Krishna, take it. And if they wanted a broom, Krishna, Krishna, okay. Everything they wanted, and the whole thing was a conversation of Krishna, Krishna. And the whole roaring thing, and there's gallons and gallons of water were, and they threw it all on the ceiling, and it naturally washed all the walls and the floors. Then they opened the holes and everything, and all the water gushed out into the next surrounding area. And they cleaned the next area and the next area and all the kitchens and all the residential places. We were there last year, I think, last year, maybe the year before, and with the Sankirtan devotees and Bhakti Purushottam Swami. And we had we cleaned the Gumbhira temple where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was sitting. It used to be his house, the Gumbhira. So Purushottam Raji knows those devotees there. So actually, the Russian devotees who were there, I think, the year before. That year, about 700 devotees, Russian devotees, they went to Puri, and they said, we want some service, we want to clean. And they started cleaning up all the temples there, especially the Gumbhira. And everyone was amazed to see all these Russian devotees, hundreds of them. And they cleaned it. So we had a good time also, and there's water everywhere. We had there was 70 brahmacharis there, because it was the Sankirtan devotees at Parikram. So there was water everywhere and brooms. It was really, really dirty in that Gumbhira. Anyway, and so Mahaprabhu was encouraging everyone, you're doing really nice service. Oh. But if he saw someone wasn't pulling his weight and he was a little bit lax, Mahaprabhu would say, oh, you're doing very nice service. Why don't you train others how to clean like you? Because you're doing so nicely, and they would become very much ashamed, and then they would start working really hard. So this is his way of chastising. He would actually, it was a praise. So they were having many pastimes in cleaning the temple. So in the purport, Prabhupada quotes Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakura's saying that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as the world leader, was personally giving instructions on how one should receive Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, within one's cleansed and pacified heart. If one wants to see Krishna seated in his heart, he must first cleanse the heart, as prescribed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his Shikshastikam, Chaito Darpa Namarjanam. In this age, everyone's heart is especially unclean, as confirmed in the Srimad Bhagavatam. To wash away all dirty things accumulated within the heart, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised everybody to chant the Hare Krishna mantra. The first result would be that the heart is cleansed. Similarly, the Srimad Bhagavatam confirms Srinvatam Shva Katha Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Hiriyantashto Hi Abharani Vidhunoti Shudhit Shatam. Sri Krishna, the Personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma in everyone's heart and the benefactor of the truthful devotees, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who relishes his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. If a devotee at all wants to clean his heart, he must chant and hear the glories of the Lord, Sri Krishna. This is a simple process. Krishna himself will help cleanse the heart because he is already seated there. Krishna wants to continue living within the heart, and the Lord wants to give direction. But one has to keep his heart as clean as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu kept the Gaudiya temple. The devotee therefore has to cleanse his heart just as the Lord cleansed the Gaudiya temple. In this way one can become pacified and enriched in devotional service. If the heart is filled with straw, grains of sands, weeds or dusts, one cannot enthrone the Supreme Personality of Godhead there. The heart must be cleansed of all material motives brought about by fruitive work, speculative knowledge, the mystic yogic system, and so many other forms of so-called meditation. The heart must be cleansed without ulterior motive. As Srila Rupa Goswami says, Anyabhilashita shunyam jnana kamadi anavritam. In other words, there should not be any external motive. One should not attempt material upliftment, understanding the Supreme by speculative knowledge, fruitive activity, severe austerity and penance, and so on. All these activities are against the natural growth of spontaneous love of Godhead. As soon as these are present in the heart should be understood to be unclean and therefore unfit to serve as Krishna's sitting place. We cannot perceive the Lord's presence in our hearts unless our hearts are cleansed. So here is the process for cleansing the heart. Hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. This is the process for cleansing the heart. Shravanam Kirtanam. If we simply hear the message of the Lord, Prabhupada said, first you hear, then you repeat. Otherwise, how can you chant if you haven't heard? So first hear, then you repeat. And this is actually the only business of a devotee. Otherwise the heart would become full of unclean things, unwanted things. And this is the first thing we learn, because it's the first thing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu teaches us in his Shikshastika. And this begins with Cheto Darpana Marjanam. First cleanse the heart. Okay. Then it's clean, okay. Then we can start talking. Then we can start chanting. So this is the practical way of devotional service, especially by the process of hearing and chanting. Now here, this verse mentions, the Bhagavatam verse quote is Srimadam Katha Krishna, that actually is Krishna who does the cleaning. He comes and sits in the heart and he is personally cleaning. He's cleaning because we are trying to clean. We are taking the process of cleansing. But we may not have that ability to cleanse. But Krishna does. And because he sees we have taken the process that's been given by the previous acharyas as a process to clean the heart, Krishna has to fulfill their desires of the previous acharyas. And he has to make their statements true. They cannot be false. So Krishna himself, to fulfill the desire of the acharyas, he cleanses the heart. He sweeps all the dirty things out of the heart. If the devotee is trying. But if the devotee is not trying, that same Krishna will remind him of all those dirty things. He will keep them there. It's up to the devotee. He has to endeavor. As they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. But we know what Krishna wants. He wants us to hear and chant his glories always. He doesn't want us to meditate on all the grains and the dust and the straw in the heart. So therefore, in the very beginning of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that wherever the mind may wander due to its flickering nature, immediately bring it back. Back to hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. This is Krishna's practically his first instruction in Bhagavad Gita, and it's so important, because if we can simply do that, then the whole process of Krishna consciousness, bhakti yoga, becomes very easy. Because our only problems in bhakti yoga is our uncontrolled mind and senses, especially the mind. That gives us Krishna says it becomes your greatest enemy because it's uncontrolled. Well, Krishna, in the very beginning, he says, wherever it wanders, immediately bring it back to hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. This is the recommended process. And if we sincerely do that, then there is no dirt. As long as you're chanting and hearing the glories that there is no moiler in the heart. And if it is there, you don't notice it because you're simply hearing and chanting. And Krishna will take care of it. If it's there, I'll clean it. You go on hearing and chanting. You don't even have to stop to clean it. I'll do that. You simply go on hearing and chanting. I've got the broom. I will clean it out. So this is the grace of Krishna. Then devotional service becomes very easy. One who has conquered his mind by fixing it on Krishna's seva, the mind is the best friend. So it's a win-win situation. Not only you satisfy the Lord, you're doing what you're supposed to do, but also you become happy. And if you don't do that, you're always miserable. What makes us miserable? Something in the mind, that's all. And generally, it's not hearing and chanting, it's something else. So if you've only got the hearing and chanting of Krishna going as he's recommending, then the whole process becomes easy. But we can also make it complicated if we want to. So that this is our choice, given Krishna gives us a choice, but he says, now if you follow my advice, the advice of the acharyas, I will personally take care of it. You don't even have to worry about cleaning. You simply go on hearing and chanting. So this is the process that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was given. It's very simple actually. And Prabhupada said, if you at all want to cleanse the heart, so that desire has to be there also. You have to want to cleanse the heart. So during the Rath Yatra festival, just before the Rath starts, we hear the king comes and he does a little bit of cleaning also. He sweeps in front of Jagannath on the chariot. He goes around and he sweeps and he sprinkles water. And Mahaprabhu was very pleased when he saw King Prataparudra doing this, that he had taken a position of the sweeper of Lord Jagannath. He comes in a big palanquin, maybe on a horse, or maybe both. Anyway, he's a king, so he comes on a horse. Then he goes up to the Rath with the generally. If you go there, you see the Shankaracharya people are around him. And they escort him up to Jagannath and Balaram and Subhadra, and he offers prayers and he sweeps it and he sprinkles water and throws a bit of rice. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very pleased with that, with his act. There's another history. In Jagannath's Leela, there was another king, and his name was Purushottam Dev. So his daughter was supposed to marry a king of Kalingi, that's like South Orissa. And so he invited the king, why don't you please come and see our Rath Yatra festival here? We'll be relatives soon, our sons and daughters will be married, prince and princess. Oh no, the king was going to get married to his daughter, so we're going to be relatives. So come and see the Rath Yatra. But the king of Kalingi, he couldn't come, so he sent his minister. So his minister saw the whole festival, and then he went back and he told him, he says, it's a fantastic festival. He said, but the king, he said, he sweeps. He actually picks up a broom in the public, and he's sweeping it in front of everyone. Yeah, how could you allow your daughter to marry a person like that? So that king said, definitely she's not going to marry a person who sweeps like that. Out of the question. I would never allow my daughter to marry a sweeper. So that anyway, the news come back that the marriage is off. It's been cancelled because he will not allow his daughter to marry a sweeper. So King Purushottam Dev was really angry. He was insulted. He's a Kshatriya. So he couldn't tolerate that insult. So he called his army, let's go and march on that impudent king. So he called all the army and they all raced off. He was really angry. They got there and they got really defeated. And so they come back with their heads down and their tails between their legs, and they were all ashamed that they couldn't defeat the king. And they stopped at one hermitage. And the one sage was there and they said, why did we lose? So they insulted us, they insulted Jagannath. Why would we lose? And the hermit says, well, you left in such a hurry. You didn't go and ask Jagannath's permission. You didn't take his permission to go and fight the war. What do you expect? Now go back and ask him. So the king went back and he's in meditation, in fasting. Generally in Puri they do that if something happens, and the priest or the king, they sit in they fast and they sit in meditation, and generally Jagannath reveals what is the problem. Anyway, Jagannath, he said to the king, he said, don't be in anxiety, it's no problem that he lost a little battle. He said, go back again and fight him again. He said, me and Balaram will come with you, we'll help, you have no problem. So he got the dream and he woke up and he told all the people of Puri what Jagannath had said, so they were all fired up. Let's go again. So everybody joined the army and they all went down there. So in front there was two soldiers, one on a black horse, one on a white horse. Krishna and Balaram, they were leading the way in the front. So they got to one village and they became really hungry and thirsty. They saw some ladies with pots of dahi. So they said, Mother, please give us some dahi. You're very hungry and thirsty. And they ate all this dahi. And she said, okay, give me the money. And they said, well, we haven't got any money. We're on a mission for the king. We haven't got any money. She said, well, how will I exist if I don't have money? So Jagannath said, here, take this ring. He gave me his ring. Well, Jagannath doesn't have fingers. I don't know why they wore the ring. But anyway, it was just, in that form they had fingers. So he gave him the ring. And he said, very soon the king's coming with his army. You simply go up and you show him the ring and say, you know, someone gave me this ring. And they said, you will give him the money for my dahi. So she said, okay. So then the king came. Two of your men came and they bought the dahi and they gave me the ring. You should give me the money. And he recognized, oh, this is Jagannath's ring. Oh, Jagannath is with us, Krishna. He said, yes, there was two soldiers. He says, Krishna and Balaram, so they were very happy. So they went down there really confident now. We've got Krishna and Balaram on our side. So they had a great victory and they conquered the king. And he said, get that princess. Take her back captive. So they pulled her back to the kingdom. And he said to his minister, find her a suitable sweeper. She doesn't like... You find her a suitable sweeper and marry her to that man. Finished. So the minister, he kept her in a secret place and he protected her. Anyway, next year the Rathyatra came round. Of course, when the king got up, he was sweeping, went up to sweep the room. At that time, the minister brought the queen and he said, Your Majesty, you asked me to find a suitable sweeper as a husband for your daughter. You please take her hand. You've got the... You're sweeping now. You're the... And so therefore he accepted the hand of the queen, his trick. So there are many pastimes. One day one very proud man went to see Jagannath. He's very rich, Vaishya. So he said, here is 1 lakh of rupees. Spend it on feeding Jagannath. Of course, that must have been worth about 20 lakhs or 30 lakhs of rupees today. So he said, spend it on Jagannath's prasadam in one day. So the pandit thought, how we can do that? How can we cook so much prasadam? We got so much money. How we can cook all that in one day? So he was a little bit proud, this man. You see how you can see. He promised to give it. If you can spend it in one day, I'll give you. You spend it for Jagannath. So they're in anxiety. How we can do that? So then the pandit was meditating on Lord Jagannath, and Lord Jagannath said, "Oh, you want to buy me some?" He said, "Make me one pan, tambula pan." He said, "But you get that pearl from the elephant's head, very very rare, very expensive. If you make it into powder." You put it in the pan, and then you offer me a pan. I would very much like that. So then that the big wealthy businessman came and he said, "Well, have you got the menu set up? I can pay the money." He thought they're never going to come up with this, and they said, "Yes, give me the money." He said, "We're going to buy this one pearl, and we're going to make £1 for Jagannath. He will take the £1 and eat it. All of your money finished." And he became so embarrassed. I think he had to run away. That Vaishnava Jagannath was cutting his pride down. And it said also Jagannath catches a fever during this period. Simultaneously, he spends a lot of time with Lakshmiji in the gardens, and they're just alone and they're having a good time and they're eating sweets. Because he's going to go to Vrindavan in a couple of days, and he knows Lakshmiji may get a bit jealous because he's going to leave us so many days and be with. So he gives her some time just before he goes, so she's pacified. So simultaneously they take advantage of that time and they paint the deity and they say he has a fever. Prabhupada also says he has fever. He says you can make him soups and things like that. And when you make a person sick, you give him soup and fruits. And, like in Jagannath Mandir, we boil sabjis and medicines. The year before last, there's one Dr. Alua from Bombay, a very famous physician. He's a friend of Radhanath Maharaj. So he was there in Puri, very pious man. Too pious. Everywhere you go, you see him. He's always at Chirupati and he's always wants to do it. He always calls me up and wants some special pujams done for his. Beats the devotee, but he's more on the Karmakandi side. Anyway, nice man, very famous physician. So he was talking to Radhanath Maharaj, and his pandas were there. So Radhanath Maharaj introduced him. Oh, this is, what's his name? Alua, yeah. This is Dr. Alua, a famous physician from Bombay. And the pandas said, "Oh, you're a physician, why don't you come and check Lord Jagannath because he's sick." "Oh, really?" He's thinking, "Oh, that's a great idea, yeah. I'll be able to touch Jagannath. I'll be able to embrace Jagannath. I get some creeper." So he said, "Here." He took him into the deity room. Jagannath was there. So he said, "Oh, I get some nice mercy of Jagannath." So he puts his arms on Jagannath and his head around Jagannath. They can do that. They can do that. And then he's thinking, "Oh, that was nice, but I was here for service, actually. I wasn't here just to get some mercy. I'm supposed to be checking his fever." And he said, "When you check fever," he said, "you check here or here on the head." He said, so then he said, he put his hand up on Jagannath's neck and put it down. It was so hot, he said. Immediately pulled his hand, it was so hot. This was like the year before last. He was telling the story to Radhanath Maharaj. In front of the, but he actually burned. He felt so hot. He pulled his hand off. It was burning. There's another devotee there named Kama Bandhu Das. There's many stories about this devotee. He was one of Jagannath's pujaris. And one of the stories, he come late for the puja, for the morning puja. It's not always very regulated, Jagannath's seva, because sometimes he stays up late at night, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, all different times. During Chandan Yatri, he may stay up to 3, 2 o'clock or something. So it was getting late, so the head panda went to his house because they live nearby in the area. He said, "Come on, Bandhu, come on, it's so late, Jagannath's waiting for his seva." So he's looking in the doorway and Kama Bandhu Das was making, he used to make a little bit of khichdi for his breakfast every morning before he went to do his seva. So he's making his khichdi and he's got a toothbrush, neem twig in the other hand, and he's cleaning his teeth and he's cooking his khichdi with the other hand, and then he's going to offer it to his Jagannath, his deity of Jagannath. And Pandit says, what are you doing? How can you do that? You're cooking one hand, you're going to offer it to Jagannath, and then you're cleaning your teeth with a brush in the other hand. He says, you're so moochy. Immediately go and take a bath and come clean, worship Jagannath. So immediately he stopped everything and he took a bath and he went to serve Jagannath. And then later on in the day, Jagannath wasn't accepting any prasadam, any bhoga they were offering. They have a system there. When they're offering bhoga, they put water in their hands and they look into the water and they see the reflection of the Lord. That means he's accepting. They say some mantras, etc. The usual rituals. But they look in the water and they see the deity's reflection. And then that means he's accepting. If they don't see the reflection, they say he's not accepting. This happened about 5 or 6 years ago. There was one instance when they didn't see the reflection. So the pundit said, no, he's not accepting. They'll take everything out and bury it. That's what they do. This, something happens. They all of that, all that bhoga, tons and tons of rice, they go and bury it. So they were drying all the rice and then they bought one pot and they threw it and they found there was a big fish bone inside it. And so that Jagannath didn't really accept it. So anyway, that day, they were looking, Jagannath wasn't eating at all. He wouldn't eat his breakfast, he wouldn't eat his dinner. And they were all in complete anxiety. And so then the pujari, he went into meditation. And after some time, Jagannath appeared to him. And he says, Jagannath, why are you not coming and eating your prasadam? He said, well, why did you stop me eating this morning? He said, I really enjoy it. Every day Kama Bandhu is cooking nice khichdi for me. And he's offering it to me. And it's so nice. And I'm satisfied. But now I didn't get it today. You stopped him cooking. Now I'm not sad. I wanted to taste that prasadam. Otherwise I'm not interested in anything else. Just because he's cleaning his teeth. I really like that. I really like that bhoga he's making. So immediately the pandas went to his house and said, please, please cook your khichdi. Clean your teeth if you like as well. Anyway, cook your khichdi and offer to Lord Jagannath. He's not eating anything in the temple. Jagannath Swamiki. There's another a famous devotee there. And this is the history of the Jiva Gajya. This is the famous Mahaprasad, Jagannath tongue, the long biscuit-like tongue, sugar-coated. Now they roll it out, fold it over and roll it and cook it in sugar water. You know, famous, you see it everywhere there. Jiva Gajya, Jiva means tongue, so it's Jagannath's tongue. So this devotee was actually a Muslim. And one day he came home from his work and he found his house had burned down and all of his wife and children were there also. Everything got burned to ashes. And so he said, you know, what use is living now? So he was a great devotee of Lord Jagannath also. So he prayed to Lord Jagannath, you know, thank you for allowing me to serve you, but now I see no use in living. So I'll commit suicide. I've lost everything, family, house, everything. So Jagannath said to him, no, no, don't worry, he said. He said, you can get some work. You will get some money. It won't be a problem. I want you to cook some sweets for me. And he said, but I don't know how to make sweets. He said, anyway, you go and ask around for some work in the sweet shop tomorrow by the temple. And I'll tell you later what I want. So then he woke after his dream and he went to the sweet shop, sir, and he asked, do you have any work? I can do some work, any service? And the sweet shop, yes, yes, I just lost one man. He just left. You can come in, you can help. You know, carrying things, cleaning and pounding the dough and whatever. So he was working there for some time and then Jagannath, he said, now, listen, I'm going to explain to you this sweet. I really like this sweet, the Jiva Gajya. I tell you how to make it. You get the moida and you get some sugar and flour and you roll it out like that and you fold it over and you keep folding it over and you roll it until it's this big and then you throw it, you fry it a little bit and put it in sugar water cook it in sugar water until it comes and it's nice and crispy. I really like this. So he started practicing. He made these nice scudges. So Jagannath said, "Now, Dev, you're very good, very expert. Now you bring them for me in the temple." He said, "Well, I can't go in the temple. They won't let me in. I'm a Muslim." No, just bring me some. That'll be okay. So he cooked up a nice big basket of these Shiva Gajra and he put a cloth on it, put it on his head. And he walked into the temple. Of course, immediately the guards came, "Hey, what are you doing in here? Get out of here." And he said, no, this is an order of Lord Jagannath. He ordered me to bring these sweets to him. I said, "You're a Muslim. You cannot come in here." He said, "But this is the order of Lord Jagannath." He said, "We don't believe you. You're lying. Why would Jagannath speak to a Muslim? You're unclean, unchaste. Get out of here." They called all the other pandas and they all started beating him with their sticks and pushing him out. They knocked him over and the basket fell over and all the gajra fell on the floor. And then suddenly one black dog come running and he picked up the gajras in his mouth. And he started running in. "Hey, there's a dog in the temple. Oh," and all the pandas are running. And the dog is running here and there all around. And there were hundreds of pandas chasing the dog with their sticks. Getting away. They couldn't catch him and he ran. Then he ran right into Jagannath's temple and right before Lord Jagannath's feet. And he put the gajra down and then he disappeared. And then all the pandas went, "It must be true, it must be true. Lord Jagannath wants his jiva gajra." So then after that they recognized his personality. He was a great devotee of Lord Jagannath. He never came in the temple, but they allowed him always to cook the jiva gajra. So every day he would cook and they would bring that offering and offer to Lord Jagannath. And so that's the most famous sweet there. It says that Jagannath, he likes his sweet so much that generally he doesn't even wait for it to be offered. Wherever they're cooking it, as soon as it's made, he takes it. He starts eating it everywhere. So wherever you buy those gajas in Puri, it's always prasadam because Jagannath, even if it didn't go in the temple, because Jagannath already took a bite out of it. So Jagannath is worshipped by honoring his Mahaprasad. This is the way of worshipping Lord Jagannath. You worship Krishna by taking the dust of Vrindavan on your head. You worship Mahaprabhu by chanting Hare Krishna. And you worship Lord Jagannath by honoring his Mahaprasad. So it's very famous with Mahaprasad. There was an incident. It was probably about 4 years ago. And some devotees were there. They were Western devotees. And they wanted to take Jagannath Prasadam one day, so they went and they saw the pandas. And they said, "Bring Prasad," there's about 20 devotees or something. And they said, "Bring it to our hotel where we're staying." So then the pandas brought this nice Mahaprasad of Jagannath. So the devotees were all sitting down. And the pandas, they also like to serve. They have a nice service attitude, especially prasadam. And so they started sitting down. And they put all their leaf plates out. And another devotee said, he went to the... who's that Radha? Is it Damodar? In the ISKCON temple? In Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Bhakti Kuti? Giriraj, or Radha Giriraj, that's right. Radha Giriraj temple there. Right where Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Bhajan Kuti used to be. Famous place. Bhaktivinoda, there's a plaque on the wall. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, because he's experienced there, mentioned something. He said, he was doing bhajan there, and he said, "By the power of my chanting, I will cause Bhakti Devi to go all over the world." Anyway, one devotee went there and he got some prasad from Radha Giridhari also. So the devotees were sitting there waiting for the Jagannath prasad to come, and that devotee put a little bit of prasad on everybody's plate from Radha Giridhari. Then the pandas came and they put all the prasad down there, the pots. Nice prasadam. And then they were talking and talking, and They started having an argument. It was getting really heated. And all the devotees were sitting there. Some devotees were arguing with the pandits. They're saying, come on, give us prasadam. We're getting hungry. We're sitting here waiting. And the argument was getting more and more. No, and the pandits wouldn't. They refused to serve. And then they said, what's happening out there? What's happening? Called the other devotee. What's going on? He said, the pandits won't serve. He said, why not? We paid for it. He said, because you've already got prasadam on your plates. You already have food stuff on your plate. He said, he's not going to put another food, Jagannath prasadam. And they said, but this is Radha Gopinath's part. This is from ISKCON temple. This is Radha Krishna Mahaprasad. They said, that's not prasadam. Only Jagannath's prasad is prasadam in Puri. This is their chastity to Lord Jagannath. So chaste. This is not prasadam. We will not put another prasad on where that other food is. We will not put Jagannath's prasad where that another food is kept. Unless you move it. Anyway, after some time they became a bit pacified and they agreed to put it there. But but it's just showing their chastity they have for Jagannath. Even they wouldn't put it where another prasadam was. Even Radha Krishna prasadam. Jagannath Swami ki. This is the glories of Mahaprasad. They very much understand the glories of Mahaprasad in Puri because it's Jagannath's thing. That's his theme, eating Mahaprasad. But the glories of Mahaprasad are sung throughout the Vedas. One should immediately receive, upon receiving Mahaprasad, immediately touch his head, whether it's old, dry, stale, coming from a distant place. Immediately one should honor that prasadam and see Mahaprasad. I have one experience there. And I went to the lion's gate and I said we should get some prasadam. So I gave the panda 50 rupees. I said, can you bring us some Jagannath prasadam? So he went in the temple and he was bringing some prasadam back. In the meantime, there was a couple of other pandas standing by. And they were talking, but they were criticizing us for these malechas. I even heard the word malecha. And they were criticizing me. Malecha. They were sliding us like that. And then Jagannath's prasadam came out. So immediately I bit some. I took one gajra and I ate some of it. And then I walked straight over to those pandas and I said, Mahaprasad. And they went. Immediately. They respected. See the love they have for Jagannath, the chastity. One moment they were thinking we were malechas, next minute they wouldn't hesitate to take prasadam from malechas. We've already been eating. Yudhishthira of them, the leftover from malecha. No way. So chaste. That is why, I mean there's other reasons also, but out of their love for Jagannath, many people, we cannot understand them so well, why they criticize. But there is a prediction. There's a book of predictions by one of Chutananda, who was one of Mahaprabhu's associates. At least he was there at the same time of Mahaprabhu. And he wrote a book on predictions, and many of these predictions come true. They all come true, actually. There's one about 8 years ago, I guess. One big stone slab, huge slab, fell down from inside the temple, fell on the floor. It took them years. I don't think they put it back. They don't even know where it came from. They couldn't see where it fell from. And they didn't even know how to get it up there again and put it back. It was so big. But that's a prediction, one of his predictions. And that prediction is when that slab falls down, it is an indication from this time Lord Jagannath will want to accept service from his foreign devotees also. So that was the indication. But there's another story in that book, and it mentions, I think it's Russians. Some people say Japanese, but most people say it's Russian. The Russians come. And they're allowed in the temple. So in the future, it's going to be open for foreigners. That's So these foreigners, they come in, they're devotees. And they kidnap Jagannath. And they put a duplicate Jagannath. Somehow or another, there must be a lot of devotees, I guess, to get a huge deity in there and walk out with a big deity. So I guess there's a... probably having a big Mahasankirtan or something. Anyway, they put the duplicate Jagannath there and they stole the real Jagannath. And they put him on a train. And that train, when they all went off, and the pandas understood what had happened, so they gave chase. And they all got on the train, and then a big battle took place, a big fight took place. And then the carriage, the Jagannath separates from the train, and the train goes off and the carriage stays there. And the pandas capture him again. And he doesn't go back to Puri. He stays there. He's in Cuttack, or close to Cuttack. And they build a temple now already. This was years and years ago. But they're building a temple there. Every day they used to let 108 workmen in. And certain time then they would close. No one else would be allowed in. And this was years and years. They built the temple now, a very beautiful temple. It's already there, it's just waiting. They're waiting for that incident to happen. So, because in the prophecy, Jagannath doesn't go back to the temple. He goes there, so they're waiting for Jagannath, this incident to happen, and they've already got his temple and everything like that. Prabhupada also made a prediction that if you build a big temple here, Jagannath will leave their temple and he'll come to your temple. So maybe he'll avoid that new temple and go to some ISKCON temple, if we have a big temple there. Anyway, that's the future. But anyway, this is one of the reasons why those pandas, sometimes they seem so antagonistic to devotees, to Western devotees. They seem so... they're much better now, but years ago, they were really... really say bad things and... because they knew the foreigners are going to come and steal our Jagannath. It's these people who are going to take our Jagannath away. So out of love for Jagannath, they're very fearing. And that's why they criticize and try to keep the foreign people away. They're going to come and steal our Jagannath. We'll be the same, right? Someone come to steal our... so they're very, very protective. So that's why they seem so harsh sometimes. But you should never criticize them back, even though they're very fond of... criticisms. In fact, there was one... I think it was going to be a Sankirtan Yatra. So Prabhupada was there, I believe, or was it after that? Anyway, two times. There was a later one also. Oh, it was a later one. Even the first time when Prabhupada came with his disciples... they formed a big party and they all blocked up the gates and said, "You can't." Prabhupada didn't go in. He said, "If I can't go in, if my disciples can't go in, I'm not going in." And he said, "Anyway, why are you calling Jagannath? Yeah, it means Lord of the Universe. These are from all parts of the world. You're worshipping Jagannath and you're refusing entry." There was another incident after that, and I think it was, I don't know what it was, Sankirtan or something. Wasn't it supposed to be 100 Madangas or something? And all the Manipuri Madangas were going there. It was like a big thing and all different temples and were going there, and there was a big Sankirtan meeting. Anyway, the word got round that they're all having a big party, they're going to come invade the temple and steal Jagannath. So they hired all different kinds of gundas and police, and they were really angry with all the devotees, and they wouldn't let them come in Puri practically. Yeah, they thought they was going to actually steal Jagannath that time. They thought it was a ploy. Anyway, but they're much better now. They're much better. And last year, was it? They had a program, 3,000 devotees. ISKCON devotees went there. It has a program route also in Puri. So they went around that route. And all the pandas, all. They know our route. They're following our systems. And so they're a lot better now. Otherwise, they used to be a little bit aggressive. I also had that experience. First time I went to Puri, Of course, this chapter in Bhagavatam, we're dealing with the four Kumaras, how they got checked at the gates. I had a similar experience. I'm not equating myself to the Kumaras or anything like that. But I just went to, I didn't know, I was still a Kami at that time. So I just, beautiful place. And I got off the train and I was walking out, and a policeman walking behind me said, "Where's your ticket?" I didn't have a ticket because I was wandering around in India for a few years. I didn't have any money or anything. But in India, at that time it was okay. You go third class train, that it's called God's train in India, and all the sadhus and everyone gets the beggars and everything. So generally nobody worries if you go third class if you haven't got a ticket or not. But anyway, the policeman, he was on the station, so he said, "Where's your ticket?" I said, "It's in my bag." He said, "Let me see." I said, "No, I'm going to give it to the inspector." Okay, so he's walking right behind me, and what do I do? I'm walking down and he's right behind me, so I'm trying to walk faster and he's running behind me, and he knew I didn't have a ticket. Otherwise, I'm going to get so much hassle now, he's going to go through a whole thing and lock me up and something like that. And so then I got right to the gate, and otherwise I got to show the ticket there, or I got the policeman behind me, and then I was in complete anxiety and stress. And then suddenly I just saw a door this side, and I opened the door, and it was a restaurant, and people were sitting there, and I just walked straight through the restaurant, and I opened another door, I was out on the street. And I was walking really fast, running. And then, I turned a few corners, and I thought, I was in so much anxiety, and there's no one there. All my anxiety went. And I just, it's a beautiful place. There's little pukkurs around. The whole place was, I don't know if it was just a release of all my anxiety, but it felt really transcendental. Like, wow, it's a really spiritual place. It really feels the nice vibrations there. Like you go to Hrishikesh and places like that, you go, you just feel nice vibes there. It must be a really holy place there. And anyway, so I didn't know anything, so I'm walking, and I see the temple, I go and see the big, I'm walking in the temple, and suddenly, bam, and I'm about 20 feet back. And then there's this policeman, he charged at me, and he literally pushed like anything. And I was way back there, and what was happening, because, I was into peace and love and all that. And I was wandering around like a sadhu, and suddenly, bang! And I was really angry, like the Kumaras, I guess. He said, "You can't come in here." I said, "You think God's only in a brown skin and a painted face?" I was really angry. He said, "Get out of here, you can't be here." And he chased me. I understood that was Jagannath's blessing. Because Peter Pavan is just there by the lion's gate, he can see all that going on. They say if you get, especially in Vrindavan, when people go there and become sadhu and dedicate their lives, and little kids stuff in their teeth, they start throwing stones at them and things like that. They usually give them a bad time when they first come. But if it happens, the Brajapas say, if that happens, you get there, the kids throw stones and teeth. That's a good sign. It means Krishna likes you, you can stay. So I took it as a, later on at least, I took it as a welcoming sign from Jagannath. And factually it was, my spiritual life began from there, because I met the devotees there at that point. They were there at the Rath Yatra. Hey. And I got some special mercy from Subhadra. I don't know what it was. Anyway, we got to the Gunditja, and they stayed there a couple of days, and at night they were out there all night, and there's all the different groups and owls and bows. It was really nice. It was like a mela was going on. And I was standing in front of Subhadra, and I was just staring, and it's one of those, you kind of lose all consciousness of anything else. And I just saw that Subhadra, a beautiful smile, and it was just that's all I saw, and that smile was like, it was like the whole universe was just smiling at me, and I completely forgot my body or anything like that. I was just standing there completely. I don't know how long I was there, and then suddenly I sort of come, I became really self-conscious, really, you know. I thought I'd been standing here for about 2 or 3 hours, you know, and everybody's going, what's the matter with this crazy guy there? He's just standing up. It was probably about 2 seconds or something like that. Her smile just became like the whole universe was smiling, because she's the mother of the universe also. Prabhupada says, you should first get the mercy of Subhadra, then Balaram, and then you can get Jagannath. So I guess there was, must have been some mercy there, because a week later I was in Calcutta temple with a shaved head chanting Hare Krishna. Jagannath Swami ki. But he's very merciful. And the next time I saw Jagannath, we had one, Prabhupada's godbrother, Damodar Maharaj, used to live where the BBT building is there. And then he moved to Puri, but he invited him. He was nice, he used to come every day and see Prabhupada. I like an uncle relationship with him. So he said, why don't you come see Jagannath Rathiyatra with? I'm living there, you can come and stay with me a few days. Anyway, I went there. You know, I was having a great time, you know, pulling the car and everything. And it was just such a wonderful atmosphere there. And and the whole town stops. All of the government offices close. All the transportation is stopped. It's all rerouted according to the pilgrims. And, you know, so they can come in. All the bus routes are rerouted. Everything is stopped for checking out. All the government officials go there. And then all these, they're playing these songs on the radio, and I think, well, it just sounds like Hindi film music. All that, you know, loud singing and ladies singing. And then I'm listening, you know. And then you hear Jagannath and Balaram. And so it's on the radio, everything is Jagannath there, and on the television they're showing. The whole town, it becomes so Krishna conscious. It was so nice. And of course Jagannath, you can see everywhere his eyes, because he's so high up and he's so big over all the crowds, you can always see his eyes. And I started to see his eyes everywhere I looked. And I would go to the beach and I would look on the horizon, and Jagannath's eyes on the horizon. It's such an incredible experience. But as soon as you see Jagannath, he's just so captivating, his eyes. I remember the last time we went, 2 years ago, I think, with Radhanath Maharaj's, but he had a yatra there. And we were waiting and waiting for Jagannath to come out, and then finally he comes, and see all the crowd, and all the excitement builds up, and all the gongs, and you know, we're waiting, everyone in anticipation and anxiety scene, and suddenly he comes, and then he shows you his eyes, because he kind of moves around like that. As soon as you see his eyes, that's it, you know. There's nothing else to be achieved. No. Even if I have to leave now and go back. Everything was worthwhile. Just as soon as you see Jagannath, you lose all your desires and everything. He's so much like you. You see Jagannath, you have to develop love for Krishna. You have to see him. As soon as you see Jagannath come out, you definitely feel it. And we had, and at the end of that, and when we got to the Gundicha, that then they stayed out the next day, and then the pandas said, come tomorrow morning early when we can go up on the deity, you can embrace the deities. He's telling Radhanath Maharaj, so we went early in the morning, and all the devotees, so we were just sitting in front of Jagannath, everyone was chanting japa, and there were thousands of devotees, all the Chalpati devotees were there, so we were waiting for the pandas and everyone to come. Then they came and they said, okay, you can come. There's no stairs, they bring stairs, but that early in the morning there's no stairs, so yeah. If you want to get up, you've got to kind of climb up, and people pull you up and things like that. Yeah. Anyway, we're sitting there, and I had a splitting headache. Whole day before that, we're in the sunshine. It was so hot. It was hot, hot, and the road was burning. And we was doing just the kirtan for hours. That's Indradyumna Swami was there, and Bhakti Truva Pradhanath Maharaj, and they were just kirtan, kirtan. They didn't stop. And I had a splitting headache. Anyway, the Pandit said, okay, now you can come. So he called Radhanath Maharaj, Bhakti Truva Maharaj was there, Indradyumna Maharaj. And then they said, and I thought, I'm not going to go. I said, you know, it's enough for me to sit down here. I can hardly tolerate it. My head feels like it's split and open. I just sit here. I don't know. I got all that trouble as well, climbing up and pulling up. And I thought, what's it all for? And then you're just going to say, well, I embrace Jagannath. I touch Jagannath. So you can just say that. I said, I've just been with Jagannath for 15 days here in Rajapur. You know, I'm close to him, so close. I'm painting him. I can't get close association 15 days. So what, you know, even if I say I went up and I embraced Jagannath, so what? You know, here I'm doing, you know, for a couple of weeks anyway, when I'm playing with him. So they called him, Pangajanga went up, and and they said, come on up. And I said, no, I can't, you know, really, really. No, no, come on, man. So then they kind of forced me to go up there. And I wasn't, I thought, I'm just going to, just for the sake of saying, you know, I touched Jagannath. Anyway, they pulled me up there. And I got in front of the Jagannath. And then the Pandit said, go ahead, touch him. He pushes you down. And then I put my head and embraced him. But then I came completely emotional. I got so overwhelmed. And I was sobbing and everything. I was just uncontrollably. And I was just praying, Jagannath, please finish off this material existence. Please just finish it off. It was, you know, and then same Subhadra. And then I kind of got it together and I went to Subhadra. And again, the same experience was coming. And I said, and I was saying, you saved my life. You know, I first met you and I became, you know, by your mercy, I became, you saved my life. And they went to Balaram. Oh, sorry, so we was having realizations afterwards, and everyone was telling of their different realizations. But everybody was getting it, you know, everybody was, that merciful glance of Lord Jagannath. And there were even some Gurukul boys, they were that, we were on a roof by Gondicha, and we had a good view of Jagannath, we were right near him actually. And some of the boys, some boys that they couldn't get. And he was telling it. In his realization, he was saying, we couldn't get on the roof, we couldn't get a close view. But we were by the side of Jagannath, but we really couldn't see. And I was thinking, well, I wish we could see Jagannath. If we had a nice place, we can't move around because there's so much crowd. It's a shame we can't see Jagannath. He said, I just thought that. He said, immediately Jagannath, he just swung around like that. And he just put his big eyes on us and we would knock us back. Saw those beautiful eyes of Jagannath. And Pangajanga was saying, you often hear, you know, reading Krishna book and Srimad Bhagavatam, how Krishna and Balaram would stroll just like drunken elephants. There are many descriptions like that. They were intoxicated elephants. And he said this was exactly, and he was right, when we were watching, he said this is exactly Jagannath when we were, because we were on the rooftop watching, how that he moves and how he comes down the ramp. And he comes at his own pace, and he looks here, and he looks there, and his eyes seem to be rolling sometimes. And it looks like that. He looks completely intoxicated. He's moving down. Everybody had so many realizations, but the whole thing is, that not only you feel your love for Krishna developing, but the whole thing about this Radha Yatra is actually love in separation. This is what Mahaprabhu is teaching us. This is what he came to teach. And also Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says in Nabadeep Bhava Charanga, and here in Koladweep side, because when Mahaprabhu was going to go to Vrindavan, he was tricked and he came back to Navadvipa. After he took sannyas. So he was going to go to Vrindavan, he was a trick, so he came to Navadvipa. Vyasa, what was his name? Vyasa Pati? Vyasa? Vyasa Vidya Vyas Jaspati? Yeah. Vidya Vyaspati, yeah. He came to his house. Anyway, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying in the Bhavataranga, when will I, you know, he's making the prikram. He comes to that place. Where will I see that, you know, the house of Vyaspati? He was such a devotee. He caused Gauranga to, by his devotion, he attracted Gauranga to come to the Ganga. Then he says, when will I see the king of the sannyasis on the rooftop of his house? Because when Lord Chaitanya came, he went on the rooftop, because millions of people, when they heard Mahaprabhu came to Navadvipa, they all flocked to see him, and he went on the rooftop and gave everyone a darshan. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his meditation prikram, or his factual prikram, when will I see that king of the sannyasis on the top of Vyasapati's roof? He said, just like the gopis, when they saw Krishna at Kurukshetra, and they were expressing, you are the same Krishna, it's the same night of Chaitra. He said, but here you're dressed like a prince, you've got armor, you're with all your warriors and soldiers, there's a rattling of chariots. You're the same Krishna, but we want to bring you back to Vrindavan on the bank of the Jamuna. This is the Krishna. Would you please kindly come and place your lotus feet there? This will make us happy. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, in that feeling like that, he said, when will I see that king of sannyasis, who's now, he's dressed as a sannyasis, but when will I, you are my Lord, he said, you are my same Lord. You are non-different. He said, but my heart is yearning to bring you back to Sri Ishodan, this area, Mayapur, where you performed your childhood pastimes with your friends, and you had your golden dhoti folded in three places, and your beautiful locks of curling hair, and your lotus eyes. You were always engaged in these loving pastimes. We know you're the same Krishna, but my heart longs to take you back to Sri Vasangam, and where we were having these katanina. So this was actually the same mood. Of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu never leaves Navadvip, as Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. But for the Leela, he appears to leave and come. So this same expression was being taught by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And also he said, he wrote, I wish to spend my bhajan days at Kurukshetra. So some of the disciples of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, they found that quote and they said, why is that? Why does he want to do bhajan at Kurukshetra? Everybody wants to go to Vrindavan. Radhakund, not the, was it Krishna Panchaka? These are the lakes that Parasuram filled with blood. It was the site of the slaughter of 64 million people. And you want to sit on the banks of those kundas and do your bhajan there. Why not Radha Kunda? They asked Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, why did he say that? And he said, Bhaktivinoda Thakur said that. He said, because he knew the state of Radharani's heart at that time. Because Krishna was there. There wasn't separation. He was there, but it was a different Krishna. And she knew she couldn't go with him, and she wanted to take him back. But her heart was really torn in this situation. Krishna is there, but it's not the Krishna she wanted in Vrindavan. And so she's in so much anxiety and distress in that time. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, if I can please her when she's in that mood, somehow or another I can pacify her a little bit from her distraught condition, she'll be very, very pleased to bless me. So therefore, I think to gain the mercy of Radharani, I would like to do my bhajan on the banks at Kurukshetra, because I'm sure she will be very merciful if I can help you pacify her in her torn state of existence. And I tell one story of Gadadhar Pandit in relation to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Puri. This is late. And so Gadadhar Pandit was worshipping the Tota Gopinath deity that was given by Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu was at that in that area there where the Totikana Yameshwar is called. And he saw Krishna. Right, the Totogopinath temple is there, the sand dunes. That's non-different than Govardhan also, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said. That area there. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was there and he saw Krishna. He saw Krishna was there and he was playing his flute. And then he began to see Krishna everywhere he looked. And he kept seeing Krishna everywhere. And then all of a sudden he disappeared from his vision. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became like madman and he was running looking for Krishna, Kadai, Krishna, Krishna, Kadai. Then he just fell on the floor and he was sitting in so distraught over not being able to see Krishna, and he was drawing lines on the sand with his toes and he was digging the sand and he was scratching and lamenting in his separation. And suddenly he hit the stone, and as he kept scratching, that was Tota Gopinath underneath. So then they pulled out Tota Gopinath and he gave him to Gadadhar Pandit to worship. And so Gadadhar Pandit was worshipping. He made a vow of Khetra Sannyas. It means you're not going to leave the Dharma. You'll stay in the Dharma and serve there. So he made a vow to stay there and serve Tota Gopinath. Anyway, when Mahaprabhu was visiting, wanted to go to Vrindavan, then he left and Gadadhar Pandit was also following him. And Mahaprabhu told Gadadhar Pandit, you please go back. And because you've made a vow to stay in Puri. And Gadadhar Pandit said, wherever you are, that is none different than Puri. Wherever you stay is Jagannath Puri, so I'm with you. I haven't left Puri. And Mahaprabhu said, no, you should go back. He wouldn't go back. He said, if you don't go back, then I'll be implicated. He said, you've taken a vow, Khetra Sannyas, to stay in the Dharma and worship your deity. If you break that vow and follow me, I'm going to be the cause of your breaking your vow. Therefore, what is going to be my situation? So you should stay there. And you should continue your worship of Gopinath. Gadadhar was thinking that in your presence, I see Gopinath as like straw in the street. Wherever you are in your presence, it's like millions of Gopinaths are there. So Mahaprabhu said, anyway, you've come so far, you've broken your vows, you did it, okay, you wanted to break your vow, you left the Dharma, you've broken it, okay, now go back, be satisfied, you did what you wanted to do. And he said, no, I'm not with you. I'm going to Navadvip on my own. I'm going to see Satchimata, that's why I'm going. So it's nothing to do with you. So you won't be the cause of me breaking my vows or anything like that. And Mahaprabhu said, it's simply sense gratification, Gadadhar Pandit. Simply sense gratification. And if you say anything more about this, you're going to really disturb my heart. So please stay here. Then Mahaprabhu got on the boat and immediately Gadadhar Pandit fainted in separation. And Mahaprabhu said, okay. He said to Sabhavumavada, you take him back to Puri now. And then Mahaprabhu left him. Then he went off on the boat. And Sabhavumavadacharya said, you've received a good fortune. He said, just like Bhishma did. Krishna broke his promise just simply to keep Bhishma's vow intact. See, out of tolerating separation from you, Lord Chaitanya, he's left you simply so you can maintain your vows of to stay in Puri and worship Gopinath. So it's all to do with separation, this Mahaprabhu's dealings with devotees, with Jagannath and Leela. So this is the essential aspect of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his teachings. Sri Ratyatra ki, Jai Sri Gondicha Majanam ki, Jai Gadadhar Pandit ki, Sri Bhaktivinoda Thakur ki, Sri Prabhupada ki, Samaveda Bhaktivinoda ki, Nitai Gaura Premanandi. Hare Krishna. In Jagannath Mandir, they will clean the temple today. There will be prasadam if anybody would like to go. And Darshan will be there, the Navajubanam Darshan, Jagannath's new body, Netra Utsav, 12 o'clock. 12 o'clock will be the Darshan. They'll be cleaning in the morning and Darshan. Afterwards, there's some Mahaprasad. Jagannath Swami Mahaprasad ki. Hare Krishna.